Testing. 1, 2.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clayton, you want to call the roll?
Yes, sir. Mr. Adams?
Present.
Mr. Albright? Is excused. Mr. Batzel?
Here.
Mr. Gibney?
Here.
Mr. Greiner?
Here.
Mr. Kesselring?
Here.
Mr. McLeod?
Here.
We have a quorum, sir.
Very good. Can you read off the notes?
Cases heard by the Planning and Zoning Commission will be presented to City Council in accordance with the schedule provided after each case in the agenda. Please note that the City Council meetings will begin at 4 o'clock p.m. and are held at City Hall, City Council Chambers, second floor, located at 151 Southeast Osceola Avenue.
Thank you. Everybody have a chance to look at the minutes from last meeting that were run fantastically by Russ Adams?
I'll move approval in a minute.
We have a motion for approval?
A second.
And a second. Call the roll.
Mr. Kesselring?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Greiner?
Aye.
Mr. Batzel?
Aye.
Mr. Gibney?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Very good. Okay, get right into it. Land use and rezoning, LUC 10-0026 and ZON 10-0029. Patty, you doing this one?
I'm back. Patty Hitchcock for the Cityville Calgary Growth Management Department. This is land use case LUC 10-0026 and rezoning case ZON 10-0029. It's a request of Scott Sumner to change the land use and zoning on approximately 1.86 acres in the 4200 block of Southwest College Road from commercial county to retail services city and to rezone from B4 regional business county to B4 general business city. City of Ocala Council will consider annexation of this property on November 16, 2010. Upon annexation, it's appropriate to adopt a city land use and zoning designation. City staff is presently reviewing a site plan for a car dealership on this property. Submit staff recommendations as an exhibit to this hearing. City staff recommends approval of this land use and zoning change. As you can see, it's located on the across from Market at Heathbrook, generally across from the Sullivan Cadillac dealership and across from Dick's Sporting Goods. It is surrounded by commercial zoning. There is still some unincorporated area to its west. This is looking north into the property. It does have an access point existing on Southwest College Road. And some shots of the adjoining area. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions for staff? Nope. Okay. Thanks, Pat. Is the petitioner here?
Yes, sir.
Would you like to add anything to that?
No, sir. Well, you don't have anything to add. Just answer questions if you have any.
Okay. Anybody got any questions? Nope. Okay. I think we're good there. Since there's no public here other than Mr. Gray, we'll bring it back up to the board for discussions or motions.
Make a motion to approve.
Second. A motion for approval and a second. Okay, call the roll.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Batzel?
Aye.
Mr. Greiner?
Aye.
Mr. Gibney?
Aye.
Mr. Kesselring?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Motion passes, okay.
Thank you.
All right, now the plat vacation, PLV 10-0002.
Patty Hitchcock for Growth Management Department. This is a request of KSH Parkview Commons LLC to vacate a 30-foot wide drainage and utility easement on property located between the 3000 and 3100 block of Southeast Maricamp Road. A site plan has been approved for this property for Parkview Commons Shopping Center, and they are in the process of platting this property. Typically, it would be a replat of an older plat, and typically with a replat, they can vacate the replat itself would vacate the underlying easements. However, I believe the original plat and the creation of this easement predates the statutory provision that allows a replat to vacate the easement, and so they're going through this separate process. Staff has reviewed this. We have received no objections from any of the utility companies, and we recommend approval of the vacation of this easement. The replat will provide necessary easements for provision of utilities to this development.
Okay. Any questions for staff? This letter that we have in our packet here that was reviewed by the city's
electric company?
Yeah, they're fine with everything.
They're fine. This is not the location. I do have, this is the site plan that's been approved, and the plat will provide easements in accordance with the site plan to serve the development.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you. You got to say something.
I'll pass.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for Mr. Gray? Please.
When are they going to build it?
All right. Bring it back up here for discussions or motions.
I'll move approval.
I'll second.
Got a motion for approval and a second.
Mr. Kesselring?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Mr. Adams?
Aye.
Mr. Bethel?
Aye.
Mr. Gibney?
Aye.
Mr. Griner?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Motion carries. All right.
So far you're doing
really now, this is not going to be like a half an hour or anything, is it?
No. It'll be quick.
That was a challenge.
Okay. My name is Mike Daniels, Growth Management Department, 201 Southeast 3rd Street. I'm here to present the draft version of the 2011 Evaluation and Appraisal Report. For those of you who aren't familiar with what an Evaluation and Appraisal Report is, or it's called an EAR, the purpose of it is basically to evaluate your comprehensive plan. Per state statute, you're required to evaluate the comprehensive plan every 7 years. To determine, you know, the effectiveness of the plan. The idea behind a comprehensive plan is that it's not supposed to be a shelf document. It's supposed to be a evolving document that as your city changes and as your priority changes, so does the comprehensive plan. So that's the reason why you have to continually update the comprehensive plan. Now, to give you a little bit of a history in terms of the city of Ocala, we first adopted our comprehensive plan in 1991. We were required to go through the EAR process in 1998, which we did. However, at the time, the city was a sustainable community, so we weren't required to go through the EAR-based amendment process. As a result, we didn't, except for in a couple of cases, which means a lot of our goals, objectives, and policies in the comprehensive plan are nearly 20 years old and either have been updated or they haven't even been looked at since then. So we are proposing to make substantial changes to our existing comprehensive plan. Now, as I mentioned before, this is a draft version. I mentioned this a little bit last month. Certain sections of the EAR aren't in here, and I mentioned that in my table of contents. Other parts that we have completed, they're still under review. There'll still be a lot more internal staff review, as well as proofreading and correcting some mistakes. So, you know, it's not at this point, it's not ready certainly for any sort of official action taken by this board. At the same time, we did want to bring it to the board So you can see basically some of the work that we've done up to this point, and so you get a general direction of where we're headed. And if you have any direction of staff or any preliminary questions of staff, then you can provide that for me tonight. Basically, the timeline for the ear has to be adopted to meet state statutes by April of 2011 and transmitted up to the DCA. Once we send it up to them, then they have 2 months, 3 months to come up with either a finding of sufficiency or a finding of non-sufficiency. If they find us not in compliance, that means we can't make any more land use amendments until we become compliant with the DCA's requirements. If they find us in compliance, then the next step is that we have 12 months from that point to adopt the year-based amendments. And the year-based amendments are basically the recommendations that we provide that go through the year process. Okay, the organization of the year, the first chapter is the introduction. I haven't provided that at this point. But basically, that'll be a boilerplate document which goes through all the state statutory requirements and the deadlines and things like that. The second chapter has to do with public participation. Most of that has to do with what we've done through the Ocala 2035 Visioning Project. Some of you have been involved, Commissioner Griner, Commissioner Kesselring. You came with some of the members of the leadership group down to Orlando to visit a number of different developments down there. But that involved the hiring of VHB Miller Sellen, the city's urban planning consultant. From that, we created a leadership group of local citizens, you know, who are involved in real estate, community activists, banking, and a number of different areas of the city. You saw them last month when they presented the visioning plan to you. Basically, we used what they created through the visioning process and all of the public meetings that we had, both the kickoff meetings back in June through the design conference in August. Those were all put into the public participation process, as well as a number of staff-conducted meetings that we had with certain focus groups throughout the community. So that was all mentioned as part of the public participation process. The next chapter, which I'll go into a little bit more detail, is on major issues. As back in May, staff presented draft major issues to City Council. We then worked with the leadership group to identify and further refine those major issues. Then we sent them up to the DCA for finding sufficiency in July. They then acknowledged that finding in August. And I'll go into a little bit more detail in the major issues. Chapter 4 is the community-wide assessment, which is where we provide a lot of demographic data about the city, population, housing, economic data, land use data, basically everything that has gone on in the city during our analysis period, which is between 2001 and June 2010. The next chapter is where we briefly go in and list the successes and shortcomings of each element. Now, this has changed a lot over the years. It used to be that DCA would require us to go through each and every policy, state whether or not it's been successful or not successful and why. You know, it really became kind of a checklist, you know, evaluation process. That's changed a little bit. They're trying to be more flexible in that regard. They want us to focus on the major issues. And in terms of the successes and shortcomings chapter, that's really just sort of a brief summary of some of the major things that have occurred within those elements over the past 9 years. We also included a chapter on state required issues. Specifically for us, that involves the city's transportation concurrency exception area, an urban infill redevelopment area, and also water conservation within the city. And at the very end of the document, we included all the relevant changes to growth management laws which have occurred over the 9-year period, which we will have to update in our comprehensive plan. Now, the three major issues that we identified were economic development, water use and conservation, and mobility and connectivity. On the first major issue with economic development, basically what I start out with basically what I start out with is I outline some of the demographic data related to economic development in the city. You know, I talk a little bit about the high unemployment rate in the city and the county, but also I mention the specific economic sectors in the city. I break down these specific economic sectors in the city, and what you'll see from that is that several of the areas where the city has a higher proportion of employment as compared to the state, areas such as manufacturing, areas such as retail trade, in construction, those are areas that were hardest hit through the economic downturn, and as a result, in many ways, Marion County was harder hit, not only than the state of Florida, but throughout the nation in a lot of regards. In addition, I also provide some demographic data that shows that the amount of the wage earnings in Marion County are significantly lower than the state as a whole. With that in mind, one of the things that we've discussed at a staff level and also through discussions with the leadership group is the creation of an economic development element as part of the comprehensive plan. And underneath that element, some of the major strategies that we would need to create include creating a future land use map and goals, objectives, and policies that encourage and create a mixed-use development pattern. A number of the different economic development studies that have come out, one being from RCLCO, which was the subcontractor of the urban planning consultant that we hired, stated that one of the strengths of the city is the downtown area, and that we need to build on the downtown development pattern and try to use it as a catalyst to have the same type of mixed-use development pattern throughout the city. That was also one of the main issues that was discussed through the visioning process, and that was created as part of the visioning plan. Another of the major strategies is to try to capitalize on the city's on the transportation and logistics industrial sector. You know, basically, the I-75 corridor heading north from Ocala is one of the major suppliers of goods and distribution of goods and services throughout the whole northeastern seaboard. And one of the main goals of the economic development element will be to see how the city of Ocala and our industrial sector can capitalize on those types of uses. One of the major ways we're looking to do that is to try to make rail access more accessible, both for you're all familiar with the Magna property up in the northeastern section of I-75, but also looking towards the future, also trying to extend rail access to the west, where we have several large tracts of industrial land and platted subdivisions. Some other areas that we're looking at creating policies for would be to provide accelerators for small businesses. And another major issue that's been discussed in many different economic development studies or economic studies in the city is the relatively low level of educational attainment within the Marion County area. One of the opportunities there is that CFCC, as I'm sure all of you know, is now CF, and now offers a four-year university. In addition, we have seven private institutions in the city that offer technical degrees, and you know, we're very close. We're within the educational triangle of the University of Florida, USF, and UCF. So one of the goals of the economic development element will be to try to capitalize on these institutions and partner with them to try to improve the level of education within the city and the surrounding area. Another major issue is water use and conservation. When we had our consumptive use permit approved through the Water Management District in 2007, we were able to get the consumptive use permit through 2027. But after that time period, and our main source of water is the Florida aquifer, but after 2027, it was made clear to us that we couldn't take any additional water out of the aquifer and that we had to find alternative sources of water use. The city is currently looking at, they've started drilling to try to get water from the lower Florida aquifer. They're working with the Water Management District to see if if they have, that's viable, if the they're checking on the quality of the water. And they're also trying to determine whether there's a sufficient confinement layer to separate the upper Florida aquifer from the lower Florida aquifer. The two other alternative water choices that we're looking at right now are getting water from the Withlacoochee River, and we're looking at desalinization from Crystal River. Both of those two options are much more expensive than what our current water use is, and especially when you look at Withlacoochee, there's also politically that, you know, that would be very difficult. So at this point, those are, you know, those are pretty much in the back burner, and we're focusing really on the lower Florida aquifer. In addition, the city has developed a number of different conservation plans. Back in 2005, we created a tiered rate structure to try to encourage more efficient use of water by the residents. We've created a number of educational programs. We've tried to start looking at promoting reuse. That's an area that the city really is lagging behind other communities. Right now, we only actually have 3 water meters for reuse, so that's an area that we need to explore a little bit more with the next year base amendments. The other area that we need to look at is water accountability. What we're getting at there is the city needs to do a better job of determining where the water that's being sent out is going. There seems to be some issues where we're only collecting about 87% of the water that's being sent out. So that's an area that we need to improve on as well. And in addition, for water conservation, we need to look at building and site design requirements, such as rain barrels and low-flow toilets, for example, as ways to try to improve water conservation. The last major issue is mobility and connectivity. This is an area that we spent a lot of time talking with the Ocala 2035 vision about, in terms of, you know, basically shifting our focus from predominantly vehicular traffic to looking at multimodal transportation, the more use of transit, more use of bike lanes, pedestrian, and a trail system that connects parks to residential areas and commercial areas. In addition to that, last year, as many of you know, the state passed Senate Bill 360, which made the city a dense urban land area and essentially made the entire city exempt from the concurrency requirements. So that just sort of further reinforces the vision of the city, where we need to focus less on just vehicular trips and more on other modes of transportation. Two tools that have been identified, and I go into more detail in the year, are complete streets and road diets. What complete streets are, is looking at streets to provide opportunity for multimodal transportation. So in addition to roads, there'd be all the other modes of transportation that I mentioned. And it's not simply just providing a sidewalk next to a road, it's also making sure that it's viable for people to walk along that roadway. So that may be where we look at providing street trees to provide a barrier for people walking up against the roadways. Or it might mean we try to provide some traffic calming devices to try to encourage more multimodal traffic. In addition, another tool is road diets. And that's where, instead of simply looking at roadways, widening roadways in order to accommodate vehicular trips, we'd actually look at narrowing roadways down to try to provide the opportunity for more multimodal opportunities. So with that said, those were really the main points behind the EAR. And what we're recommending at this point is, first of all, you know, to get any feedback that you have, but the next step we were proposing, and I mentioned this in the memo, is to try to have a joint workshop with members of the Planning Commission, with the leadership group. And we were thinking the best time to do that would be prior to next month's Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. So that was, you know, one thing we wanted to talk with you today. Now, after, you know, after we do get the year approved through the Planning Commission, or after we have the workshop, then we will bring the year back for formal action to be taken by the Planning Commission. The next step then would be for City Council to look at the year, and then we will send it up to DCA. Now, at this point in time, it's still just a preliminary review. DCA will then have 30 days to get their comments back to us. We will make any changes that they request, and then we will take it for the final adoption before April of next year. So with that, does anyone have any questions?
Any questions? So I guess we just need to set up a date for the workshop, or do we need to decide if we even want to do it, or are we?
Yeah, I mean, you know, basically we were thinking it would be a good idea. Then we can go into a little bit more depth, and you can also kind of get more of the thoughts of the leadership group. But we would like to do it right before, maybe at 4 o'clock, before the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, or 4:30, something like that. So then, you know, basically we could have the workshop, then go into the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, and then we, you know, bring the year back at that point, and then you could, you know, decide whether or not to take an action at that point.
We have the workshop right before the meeting, though. I mean, if we want to make some changes to the year, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it would be harder from that standpoint.
Yeah.
The only problem is because it's around Thanksgiving, you know, it kind of gets dicey to do it beforehand. But we could, you know, certainly if you'd rather do that, maybe the week before, or something like that, we could look at, you know, we could look at having a workshop maybe just the previous week. You know, we could do something like that, too.
That's what I would think.
Yeah, that makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't know if my calendar agrees, but.
Right, I mean, I would think, I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me to have it right before the meeting, because if you're making changes, then you can't do anything about it, so.
Okay.
So I would think, you know, a week beforehand or something like that.
Is there a specific day that's best for you? So you want us to stick with Monday, or would you?
How many people do we need to coordinate this with on the leadership group? Is there going to be quite a few people?
Well, there's 18 people on the leadership group, but the main person we'd want, the chair, Paolo Mastroserio, that would be who we'd get with initially, and then the co-chairs, and, you know, then obviously whoever else can attend. So do you want us, why don't we just try to coordinate something that sometime within the week before the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting?
All right. You good with everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that'd be the best thing.
Okay.
All right.
Our next meeting is the 13th.
Yeah, I think so. Tentatively this week of the 6th.
Yeah, the week of the 6th, I guess. So you're going to get with them, get with Paolo, if nothing else, and as many people as from that side want to attend, and then let us know as soon as you can, and we can.
We could just call it the 6th at 5:30, and if that doesn't work, they could change.
That would give them 2 weeks. I mean, that's a 2 week period between Thanksgiving and our meeting.
If we did it on the 6th?
Well, I'm saying.
Yeah.
There's Thanksgiving, and then there's 2 weeks, and then our meeting.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Does anybody have a suggestion about, you know, set up a time now?
I don't have a problem. I'm good. You just mentioned
Monday.
What if we start a little earlier than 5:30?
Do it Monday at 5 on the 6th.
You want to do that? I can go earlier than that. I mean, 2 weeks out, I can schedule anything. Next week, I can schedule nothing.
All right. What's your proposal?
Would 4 o'clock work? I don't know who else on the other group and who all we're talking to and who's going to be here after hours and how many, you know. That's my only thing, is you've got a group.
Yeah.
That group typically meets at 4, so.
If that's what I was sort of looking at. Yeah. If that's what they're used to, if we can do that.
I mean, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
4 o'clock on the 6th.
Try to set that up.
Where will we meet?
We'll either meet in our building or at the chamber.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can meet here. And we'd have to obviously work out to make sure there weren't any conflicts and all of that.
Right.
But it'll be here, our building, the chamber, one of those buildings, I would imagine.
Okay. So while we tentatively say the 6th at 4 o'clock, and then we can...
We'll contact
you. And so you would send these out beforehand. We would have them before the 6th to look at.
Yeah, we'll continue to work on it, and we'll send you an updated version prior to workshop.
Just kind of be even a little bit more clear on what we are really trying to do. If we look at this thing, I mean, what are we really trying to accomplish with this as far as, you know, recommendations that we would be making? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Basically what the year is
we're basically evaluating, we're evaluating our current comprehensive plan. And then we're also making recommendations to how we're going to change the plan. Now, what's going to happen then is after, you know, assuming everything goes well and DCA approves it, then we have 12 months after that date to implement everything that we recommended in the year. So if we recommend something in the year and then we turn around 6 months later and say, yeah, that really wasn't that big of a deal, let's not do that, that's when DCA is going to come on us and say, wait a minute, you said you were going to do this, and now you didn't do it. So basically, it's evaluating our existing comprehensive plan and then making recommendations to improve it.
So, I mean, some of these things that we want to try to do, I mean, are they going to be able to be accomplished? I mean, like, let's say, you know, redoing the roadways and getting, you know, pedestrian paths and things. I mean, can we do those things? I mean...
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's what we're proposing. The biggest thing, though, is we can't propose something and then go back on it.
Right, but what I'm saying is, I mean, is the money going to be there to do things like that? I mean, you know, we can propose a lot of these things, but is it...
Well, as part of the year, we do have to provide a, you know, financial feasibility. So, yeah, so that will be, but yeah, I mean, it is a 25-year plan. It is the 2035, so all of these things may not happen within the first 2 or 3 years. It's something that may happen down the road.
Are there going to be, I didn't get a chance to go through this as well as I would like to, but I just followed it pretty closely at the county, and are there going to be, you know, with the county there were a lot of individual, whether they be overlay zones or activity centers or individual people trying to get, you know, land use changes done by way of the year. I mean, are there going to be those in bundles? I mean, is that all going to be part of the year process in the city, or is it going to be much more...
No, we're proposing basically just to stick to the year and not get into that. Now, it's important to understand that where the county is right now, they're actually doing the year-based amendments. That's not the level of review we're in now.
Okay.
But no, that's not what we're proposing. We're not proposing to do the year-based amendment and do a bunch of other years with it, or a bunch of other amendments with it. We're trying to keep it separate and just stick to the year.
And also, I know we've talked about it, or I know it's been talked about in passing or in the past, but you know, our code is extremely kind of a patchwork based on years of kind of adding individual uses to individual zoning designations, and it would probably, in some people's minds, flow a lot better if that wasn't the case and it was more a description of each zone that didn't include a whole list of 100 uses. Is that something we can include in the year?
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, basically the process is we go through the year, then we do the year-based amendments, then we update the LDRs. So basically, yeah, that's basically the intent is to get there. It's just this is the process to get there. But yeah, I mean, one of the main focuses that we've been looking at is to try to get away from a code that's really use-based and it's really more form-based. So it'll get away from being overly concerned as to the specific use of the building, but getting more into what the building looks like and how it you know, addresses the street and those types of issues.
It's been a tiered process. The plan was to bring the consultant on for 3 years. First step to identify the kinds of things that Mike talked about now and to set up the kind of the map, the 30,000 foot view of the map and identify the things that would be issues as we move forward, and then do the plan, and coming off the backside of the plan to do some of the sub-area plans, some of the form-based coding, and see what we ended up with, like Mike said, you know, what's the box look like, especially in the more urban areas, traditionally urban areas, And you know, we might end up with a code that's a little dichotomous in terms of how it deals with greenfield development and development on the edge as opposed to development at the center and the core. But that's the idea, is that we'd end up with a new code that was a lot more cohesive and a lot more streamlined as we move forward.
Anybody else have anything?
Yeah, Mr. Grant, I just want to say, your question as to what we want you to look at in the review,
mm-hmm.
when you look at it, if you see, like, population data, or, you know, that do we have more kids or more older people, that sort of thing, water issues, when you go through it and look at what the issues and the baseline data about the analysis of the community, then you can look at those issues, and then when you get into our recommendations or the changes, you kind of know why we want to make those changes or what direction you think. You may see that something that we haven't seen, something that, you know, maybe you think, like in the last few years we've lost kids in elementary school. Maybe that's a concern that you have that we haven't addressed. So those types of things that you might kind of look at. Some of it is so that you understand what our issues with water are, what we're directed that we have to do, what we think we need to do, those types of things, and also, but particularly with mobility, the different modes of transportation, that's going to vastly change the land use categories, the way the city's laid out, the grid system, all of that, and also like with the logistics for transportation, trucks, trains, the airport, that type of thing. So trying to identify if there's any issues that you think we missed or that you think are more important than what we felt they were, that type of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's important to remember that you are the local planning agency, and that though you're a recommending body, that's the biggest part of your job. And so this is one of the most, I think it's one of the most important things that you do.
Oh, I do too. That's why I want to make sure we're looking at it the right way.
Yeah, and kind of as Dorothy alluded to, you know, there's no exact science in this stuff, so if there are things that you think are important that we haven't included, it's really important. You bring them to the surface and say, we think these are important. We think, or approach, issues of approach, how we're approaching something. It's all fair game.
Very good. Okay. All right, anybody got anything to add? John, you want to mention your thing on Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday evening downtown, 60th anniversary of Gosling Sun Jewelers. But in conjunction with that, there's a fundraiser that they're doing for Les Foster, E.L. Foster's son, who many of you know has ALS. And what they're doing is they're going, Gosling Sun donated a Rolex watch, and they're selling tickets for that, and the proceeds will go to ALS and then back to Les. And we're just trying to get as many people out there as possible for the, you know,
Six o'clock. 6 o'clock Thursday night.
6 o'clock, and then I think the drawing will be at 8 o'clock or sometime. And, you know, any kind of support for not only Les, but, you know, EL and Joe Foster and the whole family. That's a pretty tough deal.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. Anybody else? Anything?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
Second. Let's do it.
Journey.
Yeah, I did. Even after that.
There in the
car. That windbag out there and went on for half an hour.
You didn't hurt you too bad.
Yeah.
I heard it was. He was just going to open the doors of Gosling Sun and just whatever you can grab.
I was checking in. Like, I was checking all the
30 seconds.
Anything you can grab without my wife grabbing your hand. Good luck.
It's going to be a Rolex giveaway.
Yeah. I got a good kick out of this.
I thought there was going to be a Rolex giveaway.
I just thought it was just, you know, grab what you can.
Thank you.
Well, that's.